Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's edition of Dynamo's Half Dozen, where it is just myself, Ted, this week. Ian cannot join us as he has been doing too many podcasts recently, and his better half, Rachel, told him if he didn't take her out for a nice meal, there would be hell to pay. So this week we are going to look at the final day's games for the Premier League and what those games could mean for each team as the season ends. Now, all the games are played at the same time tomorrow, 4 o'clock, so anyone that is waiting on a result, they of course will be playing at the same time as the other team, so they won't know the exact result until the game is over. This is done so that if any team needs something to happen to make sure they could affect how they play in a game, they can't be swayed by it, so they can't make sure that a rival doesn't get a position in a league table by throwing a game. Now, this time there is a couple of games that really have no real lasting impression on where teams are going to finish. They of course are City versus Norwich. City, who are in second place and can't go up or down from there, and Norwich, who have already been relegated as last place. The only thing that City might want to do here is that they were defeated by Norwich earlier in the season, so they might want to just get that win back. Other games are Southampton versus Sheffield. Again, they can move up one spot in the table, maybe move down one if they lose, but those spots don't mean anything. Burnley and Brighton the same, and Newcastle and Liverpool. None of the teams can really move anywhere, so those games are kind of nothing, so we're just going to kind of skip by them. Games that do intrigue are the ones for 3rd, 4th and 5th place, which are Manchester United versus Leicester City and Chelsea versus Wolves. United, Leicester and Chelsea are all within a point or level with each other going into this last game. So it'll be a three-horse race to get two last positions of 3rd and 4th. Now, currently United sit in 3rd place. Chelsea sit in 4th and Leicester sit 1 point behind both in 5th place. Chelsea obviously have a second chance if they don't qualify here to get into the Champions League, because they're still in it at the moment, and if they win the Champions League, that will qualify them automatically for next season's Champions League. Manchester United also have a chance at this, since they're still in the Europa League, and the winner of the Europa League will be given a spot, but nobody wants to leave it down to a tournament like that when they can just seal their fate here and now. So as it stands, United need a win or a draw, and that will guarantee them Champions League. So will Ole go out to try and win this game, or will he go out to just hold a draw? That's a possibility here. The United players have seemed a little ragged for the last couple of games. All the games have been ticking fast, so there is a strain on the players, a tiredness. I suppose that's the same for all teams, though, so it's not really a great excuse. But since a draw is enough here for United, they might want to do that. However, he might want to bounce back from the poor performances recently and try and go out and finish with a win just to secure third place, because a draw, although it would guarantee them a Champions League spot, could still put them in fourth place rather than third, and that could affect their seeding. So hopefully he goes out for the win. As a United supporter, that's what I want to see, and as just a football fan, you want to see both teams going out to win, because Leicester do need to win here to guarantee themselves a spot without relying on other people's results. Now, a draw would get them into the Champions League based on goal difference if Chelsea are to lose to Wolves, but again, neither team's going to know the result of that unless there's extra injury time, and in which case they may pick up news on what the result is, but you will be near your own injury time at that point. So if the game's already in your hands, you need to have kind of gone for it anyway. Chelsea are need to just match or better the result for Leicester. So if Leicester draw, then all Chelsea need is a draw. And if Leicester lose, then it doesn't matter. They obviously will still want to go for a win because that guarantees them the spot and it puts them up into third place if Manchester United don't happen to win as well. Now, Wolves can't qualify, but this game is also a huge game for them. So it's not like they won't really be putting out a strong team or trying to win this game, because for Wolves, although they can't qualify for the Champions League here, they are currently in sixth place, where they could, there is a technical way they could make it into fifth, but it would involve United beating Leicester by a significant amount and Wolves beating Chelsea by quite a significant amount. So it's unlikely to happen because I think it needs to be an overall of 15 to 16 goals. You'd need kind of 8-0 games somewhere along the way, and that's unlikely to happen at this level. But sixth place this season will be getting into the Europa League in one form or another. Fifth place always gets given a shot into the groups of the Europa League, but in this season's, if with City having won their cup, the EFL Cup, that means that the person who finishes sixth here will be put into the second round qualifiers for the group stages. So Wolves will want to be able to hold on to that position. Spurs would be the team that are right behind them, 1 point behind them, so they'll be looking to claim that spot as well. Now, if this could also change, because if Chelsea happen to win the FA Cup against Arsenal, then that guaranteed spot moves down to the person in sixth. So that would mean that Wolves could automatically go into the Europa League group stages if Chelsea happen to win the FA Cup as well, if they stay in sixth. So there is an incentive for them to stay there. So Chelsea will not have a walk in the park here either. That brings us on to the next set of games, the Europa League games, where things are going to be important. As we said, United and Leicester and Chelsea, whichever one of these teams finishes in fifth is in the Europa League, barring Chelsea winning the Champions League and being the team to end in fifth, in which case they'll go directly into the Champions League, and the Europa League will be handed to whoever comes in sixth. So all three teams will be in European, all three teams of United, Leicester and Chelsea will be in European football in one way or the other, but obviously you'd prefer to be in the Champions League than the Europa League. It's just the bigger competition. It's the one everyone wants to win. Currently held by Liverpool since the delay, but at the moment Manchester City and Chelsea are still in the running to win it this season for the English teams. Will they do that or won't they is another question, but Chelsea can't rely on that, and City don't need to rely on it to get the Champions League spot, as they've already qualified by coming second in the Premier League, but they've obviously been chasing this for quite a while, so they probably will be putting a lot of effort into that, which may cause them to rest some players against Norwich, but again, it's a nothing game that I think City probably will win handily enough. Spurs will play Crystal Palace, who've been on a decent run of form, but there's nothing to gain for them in this game. They can't move up far enough and they can't drop into the relegation battle here. So there's not a whole lot for Crystal Palace to play for here. Spurs, however, will be playing to try and get that sixth spot. Now, if Chelsea win the FA Cup, I think that Spurs would then drop the second spot, the second round group stage. Second round to qualify for the group stages might drop down to seventh. I'm not entirely sure on that myself. It's a bit confusing because there's so many teams in it. But Spurs would obviously like to automatically qualify for the Europa League by coming sixth. And it's a better position in the table than seventh. But for them to get that, if they win and Wolves don't, they'll come sixth. And a draw, if Wolves lose because of their goal difference, should bump them up to sixth. So realistically, Wolves kind of need to go out to win this one, because a loss or a draw will cost them a chance at being in the Europa League. Now, if Arsenal happen to win the FA Cup, then it'll still only be down as far as sixth that gets into the Europa League. So this is a big game for both Spurs and Wolves, and I think Spurs kind of probably have the easier game out of the two to try and qualify, because Wolves or Palace, as I said, have nothing to gain, whereas Wolves opponents Chelsea have a lot to gain in guaranteeing themselves Champions League football here. So it's going to be an interesting game, an interesting 4 games there at the or sorry 3 games there at the top of the, well, not the top of the table, I suppose, but around the fourth, fifth, and sixth position, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth position. Apologies. So there's a lot going on there. So a lot of teams will be, a lot of good games to watch there. United Leicester will be the one I'll be watching, as that's the team I support. Ian will obviously be watching Chelsea and Wolves, as he's a Chelsea supporter. He'll be hoping for, he'll be cheering on United though, because United winning guarantees Chelsea their fourth place spot. So he'll be cheering for us, and that'll be all good then, because both of us will get into the Champions League, and then we can argue about who's going to win that next year. There's also a huge amount going on down at the bottom of the table, where Norwich have obviously been relegated themselves already. They can't get safety here, so they're the first team that's 100% being dropped. But there's three teams playing playing in the other games, and none of them play each other. So all three of them will be waiting on the result of the others to see if they are going to be relegated into the Championship or if they're going to remain in the Premier League. Now, for some of them, it's in their own hands. Well, it's in their own hands for all of them, really, but they still need to rely on the other team's results as well. So all of them will be going out to win. Currently, Watford will be playing against Arsenal. So Watford need to either win and win by more than 2 goals than Villa do, if Villa win, to qualify due to the goal difference, or they need to do better than Villa. So if Villa draw and Watford win, Watford will be safe, and Villa will be the team to drop down into the Championship, which would be huge for them, because they'll lose players such as Grealish, because somebody will snap him up. United have talked about looking at him as a secondary for Bruno Fernandes for cup games and substitutions and things like that. But even if United aren't the ones that go for him, there's no way he's dropping down and just staying in that Championship. He's had such a good season, so somebody's definitely going to pick him up. So Watford need to win to give themselves the best shot, because a win means that anything less than a win for Aston Villa guarantees their safety. And if they can happen to beat Arsenal by more than 2 goals than Villa beat West Ham, if that happens as well, then that would also guarantee their safety. Now, Arsenal have been a bit of a strange team here, because they went out, they beat Manchester City, obviously, in the FA Cup. Then they went out and they beat Liverpool, who technically, I suppose, really didn't have a whole lot to play for other than the total points tally, which they'd already won the league. So did it really matter to them? Maybe, maybe not. But then they went out and they got beaten quite badly last week. So no shots on target or anything. So they're a team that can just drop. They can be great or they can just be piss poor. They can't gain anything here, though, really, Arsenal. They could drop down a position in the table, or they could go up a position in the table, but none of those positions gain them anything, really. So, with that in mind, Arsenal having nothing to gain in anywhere, in anything other than possibly the FA Cup, might think to themselves that, do we need to play a strong team here? It's, Watford aren't a great side this season. They haven't really set the world on fire the way they did a couple of seasons ago. So maybe Arsenal feel, they might just feel, we'll rest our players and put all our eggs in the basket of the FA Cup, because if they win the FA Cup, that guarantees them, and it's the only way that they will get European football, albeit it'll be the Europa League rather than the Champions League. But that is a way to get back into the Champions League if you play through the Europa League and win that, so they'll be directly into the group stages if they happen to win that. So that could be beneficial to Watford, because if they play a weakened side, it gives Watford a better chance at winning. But they might also want to keep momentum on their side, so they could play a strong side to try and keep everyone match fit and to make sure that the players go in with the confidence into that game versus Chelsea. And they'll obviously be hoping that Chelsea, because they're battling for top four, will play a strong team and therefore could cost themselves the FA Cup. So it could be good for Watford, but it could also be a bad sign for them here. It's not really a certainty. Bournemouth are currently there as well. They are currently second last in the table with 31 points. Both Villa and Watford are on 34. So the only way for Bournemouth to remain safe in the Premier League here is for both Villa and Watford to lose. Now, that doesn't seem like a great way to be looking at it for them, but it means that they have to go out to win this game. Anything less than a win is just straight relegation. So if any of these players if they're playing for the badge and want to stay up in the Premiership, they're going to have to go out and give absolutely everything, which some people will argue you should be doing every game, but obviously now more than ever, to guarantee the club stays up, that's really what needs to happen here. So the only thing they can hope for is that both of the other teams lose, because if one wins or draws, or if both draw, that would put them on 35 points, and that puts them just out of the reach of Bournemouth. Bournemouth happen to be playing Everton, who can gain absolutely nothing. There's no upcoming games for them in the likes of an FA Cup or anything like that, so that could play into it, where the likes of the Everton players might just be shut down. That doesn't really matter. We can't go up in the table. We can't go down in the table. We've got nothing to gain and nothing to lose by this game. So they could be just shut off and just ready, looking towards their holidays, looking towards relaxing, getting back to their families. So that could play into Bournemouth's favour. But at the same time, these are all professional athletes, so you would assume that there's a desire to win, at least in most of them, if not all. And then Villa, who are currently in the safest position, they are one goal ahead on goal difference over Watford, but level on points. So they play West Ham, who have nothing to gain or nothing to lose in this game as well. But for Villa, who are obviously in the best position here because of their goal difference, a win guarantees them safety, no matter what. A win, if they were to win 1-0 here and Watford were to go out and win 3-0, they would still get relegated. So a win isn't a guaranteed safety for them, but a win gives them the best chance, especially if they go out and win by 2 or 3 goals, because then Watford would need to go out and win by 4 or 5 goals against Arsenal, which seems unlikely to happen. A draw would guarantee them safety if Watford happened to lose. And this is where the final day of the season is so interesting to try and watch if you were able to get all of the games up at once, which you'd need quite a lot of televisions for to do. And if you support one team, you're probably just going to stick watching them. But it does help that you now have your mobile phone, which is connected to the internet, or your computer or whatever you're using, that can keep you up to date, so you can kind of keep up with what's happening in the other games. Presumably managers have this, but I don't know, are they allowed to bring these down to the benches, or fans are allowed to? Because obviously you can't stop fans bringing, well, there's no fans in the area at the moment, but in previous years and in future years, we hope there will be fans, so you'll know what the result of other games is if your game runs a bit longer due to injury time or a stoppage for any other reason. But without knowing what the other team are going to get, a draw could be disastrous for Villa, so I don't see them going out to try and play for that, but a draw would be enough if Watford don't happen to beat Arsenal. A loss could actually keep them safe as well. If both Watford and Bournemouth draw and lose. If Watford lose and Bournemouth draw or lose, a draw for Watford would actually put them up if Villa happened to lose, because they would then be 1 point ahead. So there's actually everything to play for. There's nothing to play for at the top of the table. And there's a lot to play for in the spots of 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th. And then there's a lot to play for down at the bottom of the table for the teams scrapping to avoid relegation, which is obviously you want to play at the top of the top league of any country you're in, but because that's the best place to be, the best place to shine, and the place where you get the most notoriety. But obviously there's also a money aspect for each club, so every club wants to stay up as well. And if you drop down, you will potentially lose your best players, and you'll probably have to sell them at a cheaper price because they'll be trying to force themselves out, and you know you won't be able to continue to keep them. Even if you manage to keep them for 1 year, if you don't get promoted back straight away, they will be another year out of contract. So it makes your time down in the Championship even more difficult, because unless you manage to hold on to a player who's very loyal to the club, which isn't the norm, because people want to be seen as the best player, which is fair enough, you'll have an even bigger struggle when you're stuck down in the bottom of the leagues. So it's going to be a huge day tomorrow for anyone interested in football, and then that will be the end of the season. That will finish us up for the Premier League, obviously a little bit later than usual, and then the start date has been released as to be the 12th of September, so there's actually not a huge break, so there'll be a lot of talk of transfer signings in that short period of time where the teams try to bolster their squads to make them stronger for next season. Chelsea have, we've already done this, having been banned from transfers this season, but they've already gone out and they've signed quite a few players. Pulisic, who they signed this season and is currently playing for them, wasn't great before the break, but he's really stepped it up here and he's looking a real talent for them. They obviously have young players like Cho Hudson-Odoi, Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham's looking decent. He might get pushed out of the team a little bit since Giroud is playing so well at the moment, and that they've picked up Timo Werner, who I think is a great signing for Chelsea, but obviously we'll have to wait and see. The league might not suit him, but I think he'll be fine when he gets there. And they've also picked up Ziyech from Ajax, who had a great season 2 seasons ago, and he's had a pretty decent season this season as well, considering Ajax lost 2 of their biggest players last season as well. I was surprised Ziyech hadn't been picked up before that. I personally thought United should have been looking at him, but we obviously didn't. We had other transfer targets in mind and didn't end up going for him, but he's not available anymore, so we'll have to go looking elsewhere. Now, in the break between this, this year, obviously because of the COVID-19, it's a little bit different. There's a lot of other sports to still be continued playing that have only started to return, including mainly the American sports, the NHL, which is the hockey and the ice hockey, and the NBA, which is basketball. They both return on the bank holiday weekend, so not this week. Well, I think there's warm-up games this weekend, but the actual competitive games start again next weekend. So if you're looking to fill your time up with a few little bit of sports, well, the Premier League is gone and you just need something to keep you going. Those are definitely two things that you could get into. They're both very fast-paced, which is something that some people say they don't like about watching American sports, such as the American football or baseball, which I understand. I don't really watch either of those either. I do think they're a bit slow. I love the tactical idea of the NBA, or not the NBA, sorry, the NFL, but the fact that you get to see that side of the game, because obviously then the other team could see it. The fact that you don't get to see that kind of takes it a little bit away from me, because you have to get more involved yourself, and I'm not that involved in the American football. But I do like the basketball and I do like the NHL, both very fast-paced games.
Basketball tends to be quite high scoring usually, in terms of, you're looking at 70s and 80s, which seems quite high, but obviously it's 2 points for a basket, or three if you shoot from outside the 3 pointers, the 3 point line. And ice hockey doesn't tend to be too high scoring a game, which some people might say, well, that's a bit boring, but you're watching a load of lads skate around on the ice and absolutely batter each other. You get the odd fight as well, which is some people think it's a bit barbaric, but I find entertaining. It's a good sport to watch. It's a little bit difficult if you've never seen it before, because it's hard to see the puck at times because it's flying around so quickly. But if you can get into it, it's a good sport. It's a good definitely. If you have nothing else to watch and you're itching for some sport since the Premier League season is over, I don't know if any of the other seasons are still running, but if you're looking for something to fill that void for the next couple of weeks before we get to September and the restart, those two are definitely something that you should look into. And they will be played in what has been called a bubble for both of them, which means that the teams will be all isolated and staying within a small area, where they can't travel home and they can't travel out and about. This is to prevent team members and coaching staff from contracting the COVID-19 virus. So it allows them the best chance of health and safety for everyone involved. There's Ian and Dara Maher, who both are the host and co-hosts on the main Dynamo's Dozen show, have set up a new show called ASI, which is American Sports Ireland, where they discuss these two sports. They also discuss the NFL, and they'll discuss any other American sports that they see fit. So if you're looking to kind of get a little bit interested in those sports, that's a podcast that I would recommend, obviously, as they're a friend of mine as well. But it is a good podcast where they discuss the top players in the NFL. Their first episode was the top players, or the top quarterbacks in the NFL, or who they think will be the top quarterbacks in for the next while. They did something similar for the NHL, which Dara has only recently gotten into. So, as I said, he was looking for something extra with the lack of sport around, and this is what he decided to get into. And Ian currently has just gotten into the NFL, so the two boys are kind of teaching each other on the fly. That'll be it for this podcast. It's quite a short one, obviously, but it's just myself here, so there's no banter to be had between myself and Ian. But thank you for listening, and good luck.